Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Tim. Thank you for joining us here. Another episode of Drop in the Gloves. Appreciate being here. It's weird with this YouTube. You got to be aware of how you look, Tim. I spent the first 3 minutes adjusting my hat. It just didn't do anything. I got a big fat head and no hats fit me. I've talked about this before. So what are we going to do? This is my Michigan Tech brand, Heart of a Husky.
It's all over.
Get a hat that fits me. It's all over. Go to Michigan Tech. The hockey team's not doing so hot. They haven't registered a regulation win just yet, but it's early. Anyways, this episode, Tim, is brought to you by Give Better. You know Give Better, Tim. I know Give Better. I think all of our listeners hopefully know about Give Better, but if you don't, listen up. Visit their website, givebetter.app/DTG. Take a quick survey, and guess what? All you do is you take a quick survey, 3 questions, you get a chance to win 2 NHL tickets to any game of your choice, Tim. Any game of your choice, all you have to do is take a 3-question survey, go to givebetter.app/DTG, and you can win hockey tickets to any game. And guess what? Give Better is just a cool company. It's responsible gambling. You gamble on games. Everybody does it. Not everybody. Most people do it. With Give Better, 25% of your losses gets donated to charity. It's such a great concept. Tim uses them. I use them. It's a fantastic company. Go to givebetter.app/DTG. Enroll today, and you could win 2 tickets to a game of your choice. So that means if you want to go in December, January, February, March, April, who cares? They'll hook you up with tickets. If you live in Toronto and you want to go to a game in Florida, they'll buy you tickets in Florida. If you live in Australia and you want to catch a game in Madison Square Garden, they'll buy you 2 tickets. Lower bowl, Tim. These aren't nosebleeds. These are good tickets. So check them out. Tell them we sent you. Givebetter.app/DTG for a chance to win. We're going to draw next month, November 27th. So you have 30 days and a few to get your entries in. And we'll probably do more throughout the season, but this is the first one. This might be the best one. So sign up now. Give Better. All right, Tim, you know what's not so great?
Well,
predictions.
I was thinking if I could pick a game right now, I'm picking a Red Wings game, the way they're playing right now. I'll tell you what.
The Detroit Red Wings have started this season like a man possessed. They are on fire. They are motivated. After a bad last year where nothing went right, they were still figuring out the Yzer plan. They brought in a few new pieces. They are playing great hockey now. They're second place in the Atlantic. They're 5-1-0. They got 10 points. Everything is clicking. And they're not just beating teams by 1 goal, 2 goals. They were blowing teams out. And they played some pretty good competition. You know, I always like to go back and poke holes in their competition. Yes, they beat Columbus. Yes, they beat Calgary. They've also beaten Tampa Bay. They've beaten a good Pittsburgh Penguins team, and they've beaten a pretty good Ottawa Senators team that is right behind them in the standings shooting for a playoff spot. So I'm not one to concede my predictions, but maybe I spoke at a turn with the Detroit Red Wings, and maybe they are a team to be reckoned with here in the tough Atlantic and Eastern Conference. I don't know. The verdict is still out. But the first line of Dylan Larkin, Lucas Raymond, Alex DeBrincat, that's something special. They are playing very, very good hockey at a level I didn't think they had. I'll be completely frank. I think everybody knows about my preseason predictions. I said DeBrincat might get 25. Is that what I said, Tim? 25 to 30? He wasn't going to touch 40. Fast forward 6 games into the season, the guy's got 8 goals in 6 games. 8 goals in 6 games, Tim. Can you believe that? Dylan Larkin's got 8 assists. Coincidence? I think not. This is a very good line. Larkin's playing very well. Lucas Raymond's playing out of this world. Alex DeBrincat is obviously taking advantage of having a couple good players play alongside him now. I'm just kidding. Alex DeBrincat's playing fantastic as well. But I don't know. Do I think he's going to eclipse 30? Gosh, what a start. He kind of has to now, right? He's got, what is it, 60 or 78 games to score 20-some goals. I think he'll probably do it. But what a start for the Detroit Red Wings. Is there anything going wrong with this team, Tim?
No, they're getting production up and down the lineup, but it's really that top line, like you mentioned, plus two defensemen, Gostisbehere and Mostert, are also putting up solid points, 6 and 5 respectively. But going back to DeBrincat, the knock on him from you on this show has always been, maybe you didn't use this word, but the passenger, right? He's a great number two on a line, but he needs a Kane to be productive. Here he is. I don't know. Is he number two to Larkin? They have great chemistry. Larkin's a very good playmaker. He's not in the upper echelon, but he's pretty close. It works those two. And Raymond's right there too. So I think it's a great line. No one expects him to keep this up. Obviously, he's on pace for like 80 goals, 90 goals. He's not going to do it, obviously. But he's going to score 40, I think, if he keeps this up, unless something goes terribly wrong. And now the Red Wings, again, it's only like 10 days into the season, but they could be not only a wild card, but firmly in a playoff spot when it comes to June. So pretty cool.
Yeah, when you look at DeBrincat last year, the experiments in Ottawa, I think the Senators play just at a different speed than the Red Wings do. They're more puck control. They're a little slower, to be honest with you. Claude Giroux, Tim Stützle, Brady Tkachuk, Norris, Batherson, Kubalik, none of these guys are burners. They're bigger bodies. They control the puck a little more. There's not this, you know, fast break rush attempt after attempt after attempt. But when you think of the Red Wings right now, when you think of that first line specifically, they're up and down the ice, Tim. It's Larkin, it's Raymond, and it's DeBrincat, and they're going 100 miles an hour. So maybe the speed of this team just fits DeBrincat's game more. He likes the fast rush. He likes the one-timers from the edge. I don't know what it is, but so far it's working. They're playing great hockey. I play on a men's league here, and most of the guys listen to the podcast. It's always humbling when one guy goes, oh, you got a podcast? I'm like, I'm on your team, bro. But anyways, they are just talking about how great DeBrincat fits into this team. When you look at the guys who were in that position years past, you had a Mantha, you had a Bertuzzi, bigger bodies who maybe couldn't keep up with the Dylan Larkin. Maybe this is what this guy needs, because he's been scratching at that ceiling of being a legit superstar, being a guy who can lead your team, a captain, in that upper echelon of captains in the NHL. He hasn't been there yet. Maybe all he needed was some players who can match his speed and pace, and that's DeBrincat, and that's Lucas Raymond. Lucas Raymond coming into his sophomore season, playing a lot better, playing more confident. And you put a 40-goal score next to these guys, they're going to be good. And yeah, I understood Alex DeBrincat. I'll admit it. I thought he was riding shotgun to Kane for all those years in Chicago, but still, he putting in 40 goals is pretty impressive. I don't think he scores 40 this year. I think he's off to a pretty fortuitous start. He's getting some I don't even think he's getting puck luck. He's just playing great. So, but his shooting percentage, Tim, is 42%.
Yeah.
Like he's had 19 shots and he scored 8 of them. That's not going to hold. Like, let's just pump the brakes there for a second, but he will come down to earth. Things will level out. His shooting percentage will be around 14%. So things will slow down, but it's a great start for the Red Wings in this competitive Atlantic division. They have really jumped out and put themselves in a good position moving forward to Thanksgiving, because, hey, it's a month away. And I say it all the time. Everybody knows what comes Thanksgiving. If you're in the playoffs at that point, there's a 75% chance you'll be in that position when the season ends. So you got to set yourself up for success, Tim.
Well, I'm surprised that you are even changing your tune even a little bit, just because it's only been 6 games. And I don't care what you do. 6 games is just 6 games. You know, he could have 12 goals and it's still just 6 games. But I'm glad you're coming around a little bit. I like him more than you do. I think it's going to be great. I do think he's going to score 40 this year. And I think the Red Wings, I don't know. I didn't have them making the playoffs. I don't want to say they're going to just after 6 games, but they're making it. They're making that conversation a little bit more difficult. Meanwhile, Buffalo is struggling, so we'll see.
Yeah, it's still very early, like you said, and I would have kind of put this aside to break its start if it wasn't consistent. You know, he's doing it every single game. First game, 2 goals, 1 assist. Second game, he gets an assist. Third game, 2 goals, 1 assist. Fourth game gets blanked by Ottawa, but still plays pretty strong. Last game, it's a hat trick. So it's not like he's just going in spurts. He's playing consistent. He's playing good hockey. He's playing very good hockey. All right, moving on. I saw an interesting story out of the LNAH. That's the Quebec Senior League Tour. I don't know what the LNAH means, but it's a French name. Donald Brashear, once just almost on the Mount Rushmore of hockey fighters when you would ask people in the know. He is a guy who's played for decades. Well, now 3-4 decades. Like, the guy's been around forever. He has dipped his toe back in professional hockey, and he played his first game the other day. And lo and behold, he got into a fight with a guy, Derek Parker, who's a known tough guy in the LNAH. And oddly enough, Donald Brashear's last fight was versus Derek Parker 10 years ago on January 11th, 2013. So a full decade eclipsed before Donald Brashear fought his next fight. So he went from 41 years old fighting Derek Parker to 51 years old fighting Derek Parker. It was a typical Donald Brashear fight. You square off, you grab him by the back of the collar, and you noogie his head for a minute, and then you call it a day. No good punches were landed. It was just a very boring fight. Donald Brashear has just made an incredible living by bear hugging guys and surprising them with these little jabs. He'll like bear hug you. He grabs you by the collar, then pushes out a couple times and hits you in the side of the head and the ear. That's all he did for 20 years. Now for 40 years. It's amazing. But yeah, he's a celebrity in Quebec. He's a Montreal guy, I believe, or in that area. But what do you think? Is it a good thing, Tim, for hockey in general, for a 51-year-old man to be fighting still?
I mean, yeah, here we are talking about it. And we got some tweets about it. Did you ever have any run-ins with him on the ice?
No, I don't even. Maybe I did play against him. I must have, because he played forever. But no, I've never fought him. I would have liked to. But he fights a complete opposite style of me. I like just wide open, obviously, because I have longer arms. This whole clutch and grab junk, it's not enjoyable for fans. I don't, and correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, I don't know a fan who enjoys it when both guys grab with both hands right away and you try to get position. Maybe initially, then you can pull out. You watch Steve McIntyre. He's very good at it. He'll sit there and eat punches all day to try to get a good position, and then he starts punching. These guys don't start punching. They just get position, and then they throw a couple little noogies, and it's over. So I never liked the way he fought, ever.
So you never, like, he never would have made you nervous then?
Never, which is so hilarious.
He's
because
so he's big, yeah.
He could go down as one of the greatest fighters. He never made me nervous, ever. The guys who made me nervous were the guys who would just throw back and fight. Matt Karkner's of the world. Who weren't afraid to get knocked out. You know, those guys are, I was like, oh, okay. Like Brian McGrattan never made me nervous because I knew he didn't punch hard. He just did these little jabs. It was very strange. Yeah. It was the Matt Karkner's, the Frazier McLaren always made me nervous. And I fought him quite a few times just because he didn't play defense. He was all gas, no breaks. And I loved fighting guys like that.
LaRock, he made you nervous, right?
No, he never did. A little bit just because of his sheer size. But when you watch George fight, he didn't fight wide open. You know what I mean? He was never like angry. I guess I was never that angry too, but I've talked to George many times about this. He never really got angry. You know who's angry right now, Tim? Evander Kane's angry. For a very good reason. And it's funny when you start to see cracks form in a team, in a company, in just in a family. And you can see where it's starting to just disintegrate. The end is near for the Edmonton Oilers if they don't correct this very soon. They've been a Stanley Cup contender for years now. Obviously, we're a part of the Nation Network. They're based in Edmonton. So they know everything Oilers. They all got Oilers tattoos. They love the Oilers, this and that. So this, I love when stuff like this happens because I can just shove it in their face and like, suck it, Jay. Oilers stink. Take that, Tyler. Your team's garbage. So Evander Kane this past week got into a fight, got into a little fisticuffs, which is fine. The guy fights all the time. What made it interesting was his post-fight comments. They were on Hockey Night in Canada. They were playing the Winnipeg Jets. He dropped the gloves with Brendan Dillon, who, in a whole other tangent, is a terrible fighter. I play with him at San Jose. I think I say it all the time every time he fights.
You do,
He's so strong. He's just such a bad fighter. So he fights Dilly. He's getting interviewed by what's-his-face from Hockey Night in Canada. I can't place his name. And this is his quote. He goes, I didn't play much in the first, so I thought I might as well fight and take 7 or 8 minutes off in the box. A very strange quote to say mid-game from one of your top players, from a guy who you pay a lot of money to do stuff. So people do a little digging. That game, the Jets win 3-2 in overtime. Evander Kane plays his lowest minutes ever since becoming an Edmonton Oiler at 14 minutes and 4 seconds. He was demoted to the third line. He is being benched by Coach Jay Woodcroft. He is incensed. The cracks are starting. Now, is this a case of just Evander Kane being Evander Kane? We know all about his time in Buffalo. We know all about his time in Vegas. We know all about his time in Winnipeg. He is not known as a good teammate, all in all. That's well documented. Is this just Evander Kane being Evander Kane, Tim? Or is this the start of something bigger? Where the Oilers, they're 1-3-1. Their goaltenders are struggling. Skinner and Campbell stink. They absolutely stink. Their bottom six forwards, we've been saying it for years, can't score a goal, can't get an assist. Here's the stats, Tim, for the bottom six forward. They got now with Kane on the third line, so I'm even boosting their stats even more. You got Evander Kane. You got McLeod, Brown, Holloway, Ryan, and Broberg. Out of those six guys, Tim, six hockey players who have played 5 games each. So that's a total of what? What's 6 times 5?
30.
They played 30 games, 1 assist between the six of them. And that's Evander Kane.
What?
They're dash 16 between the six of them, the third and fourth line. And Kane might have picked up that assist when he was on the first or second line. So we'll just call it like this. The third and fourth line in 5 games has not scored a goal for the Edmonton Oilers, and they've given up 16. Well, they're dash 16, so they've probably given up 3 or 4. It's not good. The top couple guys, McDavid, Draisaitl, Nuge, and Hyman, account for almost 80% of their goals thus far in the season. Then you sprinkle in Bouchard, Nurse, the D-man got a few. So everybody but the third and fourth line accounts for 100% of your goals. That ain't going to work. So what is this? Is this just Evander Kane reading the writing that's on the wall? The Edmonton Oilers are done and everybody's getting frustrated and he's just voicing it? Or is this nothing and this will just pass?
I think it's going to pass. I'm not that worried about him. He's obviously frustrated with his play. He's frustrated with not getting enough playing time. And so he says something. I don't really have an issue with that. I probably wouldn't say something. I wouldn't want my guys to say something. But if he did not like he crossed the line or anything. So I'm okay with that. The season didn't start the way they wanted it to after a disappointing playoff loss. And then you got McDavid out. Things just aren't clicking right now. Well, this team's too talented to continue this way. McDavid will be back in a week or two. They'll score in bunches. They'll win some games. Maybe they don't lead the Pacific, but they'll make the playoffs. And then the same thing's going to happen. It's still the same roster as the last 3 years. You know what I mean? Like, they're probably a little bit better. Maybe you win 2 series if you're lucky, but this isn't built for a playoff run. And especially when you look at the goaltending, I think Skinner is going to be fine. Campbell, I have just no faith in anymore. So they'll make the playoffs. They'll be the team that we thought they were. And then they'll lose to a better team, to a Vegas or a Colorado or even a Dallas. So it's the same old for them.
Are they talented, though? Because you just said they're too talented to miss the playoffs.
Yes.
I don't see it. Obviously, they get the top two, right? They have the top two players in the NHL. After that...
The top two lines, John.
No. Don't do that.
Hyman. Then you... Nuge and Hyman. Nuge had 90 what points last... Did he have 100 points last year? He had 90.
I think he 100. Cracked 100, yeah.
And then you have Nurse, who's a great player, and who's the other defenseman there? What's his name?
Bouchard.
Putting up a bunch of... Yeah, they're fine. They're fine.
Okay.
Talented roster.
I don't think they're as strong as you think they are. I think they do have two solid lines, but not the two best lines. So they have the two best centermen in the world. But I don't think Kane and Fogle and the Nuge are very scary wingers. You can't say that they are. I think, obviously, Draisaitl and McDavid... They boost everybody around them. But if you put Draisaitl and McDavid on a team like the Tampa Bay Lightning or a team like the Toronto Maple Leafs, if you put those two guys and put Marner and Nylander around them, it's going to be scary. Like, they're going to put up some serious points. If you put them with the Lightning and you give them the likes of Kucherov and Stamkos and Hagel, it's going to be scary. They don't have good wingers. They have okay wingers. But when you do the tiers... The Oilers wingers are definitely like tier C. There's A, there's B, and there's C.
Oh, yep. If they had Alex DeBrincat on their line, man.
Yeah, they would. DeBrincat would get 50 with those guys. He really would. And you made a great point. If you put DeBrincat alongside Draisaitl instead of Hyman, who is a great player, he works his tail off, he maximizes his talent. DeBrincat's getting 50, whereas Hyman's probably only getting 20. So I don't know. I'm worried if I'm an Oilers fan. I really am, especially like you mentioned, McDavid's out how long, Tim?
They said just 1 to 2 weeks, so hopefully not very long.
That's a big deal. You got to bump Nuge into the center slot for the second line. All of a sudden, your top two lines look pretty shallow. You got Nuge, Janmark, and Fogle as your second line. This team is not dangerous without McDavid at all. They're a very pedestrian team. Their defense is good, not great. Maybe we saw the high watermark last year for guys like Kulak and Desharnais and CeCe. They're playing average this year, average at best. And then you mentioned the goaltenders, where who knows where Stuart Skinner goes. Last year, he played out of his mind, and he was fantastic. Now his save percentage is .814, Tim. That ain't good. His goals against average is 4.29. That's even worse. So they better figure it out quick, or they're going to be out of this thing before you know it. They're going to be the Vancouver Canucks of this year, where they start the season 2-10-3. Then they're going to be trying to dig themselves out of a hole, and they're not going to be able to get there, which will be a shame because, like I said, like you said, they have some talent. But I don't know. What else is going on in this Pacific, Tim? How are the Calgary Flames doing?
Not good. Not good. I'm looking at their roster and I was looking at their stats, and it's tough because I was betting on, remember my bold prediction that five teams from this division wouldn't make the playoffs?
Yeah.
And now the Oilers are sucking, the Flames are sucking, and the Kraken are sucking. Not good. And you look at, so the Flames roster, not doing too well. And the star players that we were hoping would have bounce back seasons also aren't doing too well. You're looking at Huberdeau. I'm looking at Kadri. Huberdeau has 4 points in six games. Okay, not terrible. He's a -6. Kadri, got to scroll all the way down here. Let's see, where is he?
He's got 1 point.
Oh, there he is. I can't even see him. He's so far down. -8, 1 point.
Yeah. It's atrocious. I don't know what's happened to Nazem Kadri. He's healthy. He's playing big minutes. He's getting 15 to 20 minutes a game. He's playing with Jonathan Huberdeau most nights. Dubé. He's just not playing well.
They just don't work on Sutter's system, right? Oh, wait a minute. Sutter's gone. What's your excuse this year, boys? I don't know. You got to play better.
Hey, I don't know what it is with this team. They remind me of the Winnipeg Jets of 6 years ago, where they have a strong defense. They have a lot of good players, but they just can't figure it out. Like when you look at their defense, it's good. Like they're all NHL caliber. There's some puck movers. There's some physical players. There's some guys who are just PKers. When you look at their forwards, they're pretty solid. There's no superstars like we mentioned. Like I mentioned that you disagree with me, but I don't know. Much like the Edmonton Oilers, you better figure it out quick. You can't do this for a lot longer than you're doing it right now, Edmonton and Calgary, because you're running out of, and I'm not even talking about this season. I'm talking about your window in general. I think Edmonton's window is slowly shrinking. The further we go along in this little glimpse of McDavid and Draisaitl that they have together, You're not doing yourself any favors. But anyways, moving on. We're going to do a little... Remember that website, Tim Hot or Not?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
One of my friends put my picture on there. I was hot. You would be hot. People love this YouTube video we're doing because they get to see Tim's face. It's very nice.
I get more comments over the weekend of Tim's voice doesn't match his face. I don't know what they expect me to look like, but whatever.
Probably a pimply faced geek who's like 14.
How about now?
Then you make it worse. You're sick though, so it's exaggerating, amplifying your nasaliness.
I am sick. Thanks for acknowledging that.
You're sick of me.
You're welcome, listener.
All right, we're doing Hot or Not. We're going to go through some guys who are having some rough starts, and Tim and I are going to just try to ponder who can dig themselves out of this rough hole and who's in for a rough season. I'm going to start with fan favorite Alex Ovechkin. You know, I don't like to do this, but I'm a little happy that he's having a struggling start to this season. People were just all over him. They want him to pass Wayne Gretzky. They're just all in on Alex Ovechkin scoring goals. Guess how many he's got this year, Tim? Caps have played 4 games. Bagel. Goose egg. I didn't even let you answer because I was so excited. The guy's got 0 goals in 4 games. More concerning for me. And a reason why I don't think he will be able to get out of this funk. Yes, he will score some goals. But the fantasy land that people live in, that he's going to get 40 now and 40 next year and break Gretzky's record, I think is starting to come down to earth a little bit. He's only got 9 shots. That's the concerning thing for me. Alex Ovechkin prides himself on just shooting in numbers. He's a volume shooter. He fires from anywhere as often as he can. He's played 4 games. He's got 9 shots. He's on the power play all the time, 3, 4, 5 minutes a game. This is concerning to me. What's this telling me is other teams are just taking him away. When we used to play, I used to penalty kill sometimes. I used to be the PK in practice. What they would work on was you just eliminate Alex Ovechkin. John Tortorella did a great job of this. He's like, we're playing Washington in the playoffs. They have one guy who can beat us, and it's Ovi. So the power play, what we would do to eliminate him, they put a guy right on him. Indeed, not right beside him, but they would take Ryan McDonagh or Dan Girardi, and instead of playing a box or a triangle, you would theoretically make it a 4-on-3 to where the other guys would play a triangle and McDonagh would stand probably 3 feet from Ovechkin. And they would say, okay, beat us 4-on-3. And they couldn't do it. And you would try to just take away Ovechkin. Other teams do that. And I think that's what teams are doing right now. It's like, who else on Washington is going to score a goal on the power play or 5-on-5? Their lineup is very thin when it comes to goal scores. And if you can eliminate Ovechkin, is it going to be Oshie, who's, I think, 50 years old? Is it Wilson, who's got more miles on him than Route 66? Hey-oh! They got nobody, Tim. They got no good talent in the pipeline. They have no scores that I can think of. Anthony Mantha's been playing on the fourth line, for Pete's sake. That trade's looking real bad for the Capitals right now. So, I don't know. Do you think Ovi can overcome this minor? It's 4 games, but can he overcome this, Tim?
Well, what does overcome it mean? Like,
score 40 goals.
Will he score 40? Probably not. Probably not. No. And like you said, it's not just that, like, oh, he doesn't have any goals in 4 games. Like, that can happen, but he's gone multiple games without a goal for the first time in his career. He's gone the shot total being low. And we kind of thought those things would work in his favor. The fact that they have no one else means he's going to still score his goals because he's going to get all the chances. But maybe not when you're, 40 years old. Maybe that formula doesn't work anymore. So I think he'll be fine. Obviously, he's not going to go the whole season, but 40 is looking out of reach right now.
Yeah. Yeah. If he doesn't get 40 this year or close to it, he will not break Gretzky's record. And I don't think he will. So the receipts I have, Tim, thousands of people calling from my head in the street saying, you're an idiot. It's not, it's going to happen. He's going to score 62. Oh my gosh. It's going to be incredible when he doesn't break it, because he's not going to.
You're basically the only one who said that.
It's so hard to score goals in the NHL. It's even harder to do it when you have no talent around you. Look at Bedard right now. He's having a hard time getting some open ice because the Hawks have a hard time creating space for him because team's game plan for Bedard. Team's game plan for Ovechkin. It's much easier to game plan for one player than a whole line or 2 lines or 3 guys or 4 guys. He's not going to do it. At least Bedard is 20. Ovechkin's almost 40. You think it's fun for him to fight through checks and this and that and really get into a good position and then have blown up because the guy's standing right in front of him or the pass gets knocked away, then he has to back check and he's playing 20 minutes a night. He went 2 games without getting a shot. That's never happened in his career. It's not good. It's not good. I don't. My bold prediction should be if he gets 15.
Yeah, he's going to get.
I'm serious.
Okay.
All right. Moving on. Another 2 guys that I think are not hot right now are Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews. But wait, Austin Matthews has got 6 goals already this year. He got 6 goals in 2 games. Since then, he's gotten absolutely nothing. He's got 0 assists, 0 goals in the last 3 games for the Toronto Maple Leafs. don't look now. Their leading scorers are not Marner. They're not Matthews. They're Nylander and Tavares. Is this just a blip? Should I? Is this much ado about nothing, Tim?
This is a non-issue. This is a non-issue. This is you trying to rile it up. So no. But they have other players that we should be worried about. Max Domi.
Ooh.
The reports are not good on him. They're saying he's playing like the worst hockey of his career. He's getting bumped down the lineup. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a healthy scratch at some point. Plus Tyler Bertuzzi, one goal, no assists, five games played. He was kind of like their big guy. He was supposed to play with Matthews and add to that top six, and he's not doing it. So those two players are, that's what's worth worrying about. I'm not worried about Matthews and Marner.
Yeah, their acquisitions so far have been lackluster. Friend of the show, Ryan Reeves, has not been well. I did a radio interview with someone in Toronto. I think it was Sportsnet Fan or whatever. They were all over Reeves. They're like, he's been a minus every single game. He's costing us games. Should we bench him? What should we do with Ryan Reeves? And I will tell them what I'm telling you right now. There's bigger fish to fry in Toronto if you're worried about your fourth line guy who's minus three, and I can guarantee you none of those goals were really his fault. There's some issues going on with the other guys. You mentioned Max Domi. He's got zero goals, three assists. He's not happy. Tyler Bertuzzi, even worse. He's got one goal plus two. Klingberg, I guess, is the only guy who's producing, but he's dash two. He's supposed to be a defensive stalwart. He's got two or four assists. So there's some bigger fish to fry with Toronto Maple Leafs right now for a team that went out and, like you mentioned, got the biggest free agent fish in Tyler Bertuzzi. You get the biggest defensive free agent fish, arguably with John Klingberg, to start 3-2, to struggle this early. There's some questions on the back end. There's some questions in net. Is Joseph Woll the starting goaltender now? Samsonov's been very pedestrian. What's going to happen in Toronto? So I don't know. I don't think Marner's and Matthews are in trouble, but yeah, Tyler Bertuzzi, Max Domi, oof, not good. Another guy who signed a big deal this offseason, former Boston Bruin Dmitry Orlov, signed a 2-year, $7.75 million per deal with the Carolina Hurricanes. Huge contract for a defenseman. Don't look now. He's leading the case for the Green Jacket. He's dash 10, Tim, through six games played. He only has two assists. Has he just taken the check and ran?
No, he's fine. He's played pretty well. Like, you've seen some big hits from him. Like, you look at that roster and, like, Slavin's putting up a bunch of points. Brady Shea's putting up a bunch of points. And their defense is so strong that they don't need Orlov to put up points. Not a great start for him, although the minuses, like you said. But, again, this is not a player that I'm worried about.
No, he's only dash 10. In six games, not worried about them all. All right, Jason Robinson, then. We're worried about him.
Yeah, a little bit. He's got two assists in four games, no goals. Slow start for him, especially those fantasy owners that invested a first or second round pick on him. Not great. Dallas as a whole has been kind of okay. They've won some games, but Rupe Hintz is also a little bit of a slow start. But Robinson's the troubling one. Do you see a down season from him, or is this just a little blip on the radar?
No, I think they'll be fine. I think this line's been together for so many years. They've proven it. This isn't just a one-off. I think it's just a slow start. These veterans, it was a truncated preseason. They're playing now. I think he'll pick it up come the end of the month into November. I'm not worried about Robertson. That line's too good. What about, I hope friend of the show one day, Tage Thompson. He's got one goal, Tim, in six games. He's coming off an all-star caliber season, MVP caliber season, he didn't even sign a big ticket. Should it be captain? He's got one goal. Should we be worried about Tage Thompson and the Buffalo Sabres?
I'm going to put him right in with Alex Tuck, who also has 1 point in those six games. And I do own Tuck in fantasy. Tough start. And I am a little bit worried about these guys. I really like their roster. I had the Sabres making the playoffs this year. And again, it's only six games. We could keep telling ourselves that, but they don't look good. The whole roster is not looking great right now. And you're not seeing the best out of their forwards. You're not seeing the best out of their defensemen. I don't know. It's not a good start. And it makes me really nervous that these guys aren't going to turn it around the way that we want them to.
Yeah, they're saying the right things. They're, you know, pumping patience and this and that. They've signed all their defensive guys. They bring in some young talent. You got 47 goals last year. Like, you got 38 the year before. This isn't the start you want with Tage Thompson. He's he's been very open with his quest for 50. Like, he wants 50 goals and he got 1 through 6. Maybe he's pressing too much. Do you think he kind of drank the Kool-Aid? He became that guy last year. Everything went right for him. His shooting percentage was almost 16%, which is very, very high. I think his career average before then was like 8 or 9. Do you think he's just maybe took the offseason off? He thought it was going to be easy? That happens quite a bit. You don't think so?
No, not the way from what I read about his interviews, though, in his approach and how he broke out and how hard he worked to do that for being around for a while before he finally became an elite player. I don't think he's anyone that would take something for granted. So no, it's just it's a slow start for the team in general. It's the whole team. It's not just him. It's not just Tuck. It's not just Skinner or Darlene. It's everybody.
Well, I don't know what the answer is right now. They're last in the Atlantic Division. They've won 2 games. They've played the most with 6 games. So they need to figure it out. They need to figure it out fast. I said it with Edmonton. I said it with Calgary, especially in this Atlantic Division, Tim. With the improvement of the Ottawa Senators, Montreal Canadiens are playing well. The Red Wings are playing fantastic. You can't start slow. Who are you going to jump if you're the Buffalo Sabres? You're in last place right now. Florida Panthers made it to the Cup last year. The Lightning have won the Cup twice in the last 4 years. The Leafs are always there. Senators are improved. Which one of these teams are you think you're going to jump? You have to get on this and you have to get on it now. You don't have this veteran-laden team that can come back and claw its way back and win tough games come February, March. These are the games you need to win. You need to jump out early like the Red Wings are doing right now. So I'm telling you, if I'm the Sabres, I am panicking. I am panicking more than the Oilers. I'm panicking more than the Flames. This division is not something you want to mess around with. All right, a couple more not-hots, and then we'll move on. We got Nico Hirschier with the Devils. He's got 0 across the boards, Tim. He's your captain. Not good. You got Matty Beniers, 1 assist. What's going on there? Then you got Blake Wheeler with the Rangers, a big offseason get for them. He's got bagels across the board. Which one of those guys do you think is going to continue to struggle? And which one do you think is going to turn it around?
Wheeler is an easy one. He's older. We didn't really know what to expect. It was a low-risk deal for them, not working out so far. So it's easy to pick him as the one who's going to continue to struggle. Beniers, I think, well, that team has struggled as a whole. And I feel like he was kind of a surprise last year, maybe not a surprise, but outperformed expectations, but that team is really struggling. And you're seeing the same thing from Jared McCann and Eberle. They're not putting up the same numbers either. So I might see they could struggle all year long. He sure is going to be fine. He's hurt right now, so TBD on the extent of that. But the Devils are going to score a whole bunch of goals, and he's going to be a lock in that top 6. So he'll be fine. He'll put up a bunch of points. I'm not worried about his slow start.
Okay, so if there's people who are not hot, conversely, there must be people who are hot. You can't have one without the other. For every John Scott who's not hot, there's a Tim Wurzberger who's smoking hot. And the babes are eyeing him up and down. So the people who are hot in the NHL, we talked about DeBrincat and Dylan Larkin. They're the hottest. They're the hottest of the hot. They're on fire. Another pair that I think nobody really is talking about, a team that's just sneakily, I know it's 6 games in, so it's weird to talk about having a good start, but a team that's, you know, sneaky, just playing well, is the Vancouver Canucks. And we're not talking about Elias Pettersson. He's playing well. He is their star player. We know that. I'm talking about JT Miller and Brock Besser, a duo who... controversy follows them around. Brock Besser is constantly in the trade rumors. Every single season, is Brock Besser going to get traded? What's going to happen with Brock Besser? He's got a big contract. Is he living up to the contract? What's going to happen? Well, those two guys have put the rumors aside, and everybody knows about JT Mill. The guy never met a microphone he doesn't like. Friend of our show. Love the kid. Those two guys are playing fantastic hockey. They are anchoring that second line for the Vancouver Canucks, which is huge. That first line is good. You got Pettersson, you got Kuzmenko, who's really came about, and you got Ilya Makiev. First line's rock solid. Second line with Miller, and you got Besser on the right side, and you got DiGiuseppe on the left side. They're playing great hockey. Brock Besser, 5 goals, I think, Tim, 6 goals.
Six.
And you got six goals, 1 assist, and you got JT Miller. He's got, what does he have? He's got 2 goals, 6 assists for 8 points. Are the Vancouver Canucks for real?
I hope so. And this is so, so important for this group. It's what he said before last season, how important it was to start quick. and they lost a bunch of games. They didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And so it was really important for them this year, and he's doing it. So I'm really excited for them. I feel like hockey's the NHL is better when this group is competitive. Can they keep it going? I hope so. On roster, there's a, on paper, there's a lot to be excited about with this roster. Pettersson, Miller, Besser, Hughes, Kuzmenko. Like, these are pretty good players. And when Thatcher Demko is doing this right now, and Casey DeSmith both playing excellent, 2.57, 2.73, a little high, but the save percentage is 930 and 938. So if this continues, there's a lot to be excited about with this roster. So I hope it continues.
Yeah, that sneaky Filip Hronek trade last year where they gave up a first rounder to Yzerman doesn't look so bad right now. The Red Wings are playing great, but yeah, Hronek's playing good for the Vancouver Canucks. Tyler Myers, we'll see how long this lasts. He's just like a balloon waiting to pop, it seems like, every single year, where he shows flashes of greatness and is just like friend of the show too. We've interviewed a lot of players. All right, another pair that's just on fire. I did not see this coming. I was very, down on the Boston Bruins coming into this season. I thought they were going to have the biggest points drop from one season to the next. They're undefeated, Tim. They haven't lost a game. And the reason why is their goaltending duo between the pipes. Jeremy Swayman, Linus Ullmark are on unstoppable. It's just a carryover from last year. I thought there was going to be some kind of just lag. They're playing great. They're both undefeated. Ullmark's 3-0. Swayman's 2-0. Their save percentages are both hovering around 950. Goals against. Ullmark's only let in one goal a game. Swayman's at two goals a game. These guys are the reason why the Bruins are undefeated. A big reason, not the only reason. But they can't keep this up, Tim, can they, for 82 games?
Well, no, they're not going to go 82-0, and the goaltenders are going to start letting in some goals. But I think they're showing us that they don't expect that same dip that a lot of other people do. I think a big part of their success as well, David Pastrnak, 5 goals, 8 points in 5 games. Marchand, 7 points in 5 games. This is still a good team. And we talked about this, like, they could have the biggest drop-off in league history and still be a playoff team because of how silly last year was. That almost feels like an unfair standard to hold them to. That being said, they've played some not great teams. They beat the Sharks. They beat the Ducks. You can't control who you play, but I still don't know, like, is anyone buying this 5-0 start from them? Is anyone thinking, man, we got to be worried about Boston now, just like we were last year? I just don't think they strike the same. They've earned a certain level of respect, but I don't think they strike a fear in anyone. I don't think they're circled on anyone's calendar right now. That being said, you got to give them credit for what they've done. So 5-0, it's a good start. But again, we'll see how that plays out over the next couple of weeks.
All right, Tim, let's get to some quick hits here.
Yeah, so when you need a quick delivery, you call DoorDash. 25% off with Nation25, all caps, free and free delivery. It's in Canada only, coming soon to the States. If that's what you need when you need free delivery, when you need quick hits, you come to us. We're going to start with the Bruins because we're already talking about them. Jake DeBrusk with a healthy scratch the other night in LA from missing a team meeting in that morning. And this is interesting. The team account tweeted this out. This was not broken by a reporter. It said, from the Boston Bruins Twitter account, Jake DeBrusk missed a meeting this morning. He will not be playing tonight, which is strange. That sort of thing doesn't usually happen. I feel like that was Montgomery or Neely or someone asking for that, making sure that story was broken, right? And so maybe not a big deal. It happens once or twice a season. Some guy just oversleeps or whatever, and everyone talks about it. But for a guy who's kind of had... He had a great season last year, but he's had a questionable work ethic at times. He's gone cold at times. He's butthead with coaches at times. Not a great start to the season. And then he gets healthy scratch for missing a meeting, a la Tyler Seguin. Is this a big deal to you, or is there nothing?
No, it's a big deal. I think it's all about the details. And if you can't make a meeting, if you miss a meeting, it shows your priorities. And if you're on a successful team and a successful organization, I love what the Bruins did here. They make an example of him. I've been on teams where this happens and it's a good player. And DeBrusk is a good player on this team. He's a top two line player. They'll just make an excuse. They'll swipe it under the rug and they'll say, don't do it again. Slap on the wrist. I love what they're doing. They're calling him out. They're saying, you know what? No, you can't do this. You're setting a standard and he has to live up to it. And it's a big deal for DeBrusk. Obviously, we know his history, the trade request, not performing, being disgruntled. All in all, maybe getting the coach fired, him and a few other people, But it's a big deal. The Bruins reacted accordingly, and I like what they've done. Hopefully DeBrus doesn't get his pride hurt and just go into a big depression and just start blaming other people and not take accountability. Hopefully he just says, you know what, I made a mistake, move past it, earn his respect and trust back from the coach and the players, because it's a big deal. Everybody's there. Like, everybody knows the time. And when you're a hockey player, the organization makes it very easy for you to get to places. Team meeting in the hotel or at the rink. You get a bus from the hotel to the rink. Multiple buses every day go to the rink. If there's a skate at 10 a.m. and a meeting at 9, there'll be a bus at 8. There'll be a bus at 8:30. There's multiple taxis. You can Uber. It's not hard to get somewhere when you're in the show. They make it so easy for you. So for the fact that he missed that, it's completely on him. Completely on him. He needs to own up to it, move on, and they'll forget about it. But if he doesn't and he makes a comment, which he is prone to do, then it'll drag on and it'll affect the whole team. But yeah, good for the Bruins. I like it. What else, Tim?
Yeah, so the Bruins are among the three undefeated teams so far that we've talked about, including Vegas and Colorado, who I am really, I'm buying into. I know you're not. And then the winless teams, there's three teams that are two teams that haven't won any regulation games net, the Sharks and the Capitals. The Sharks, you called them having the worst record in hockey at the beginning of the season. So far, it looks like it's going to be true.
Yeah. Which one of these teams do you think? We got the Avalanche, we got the Knights and the Bruins, all undefeated. Who was the last man standing of all these teams? Colorado, they play the Islanders, and they play the Penguins. Do you think they'll take care of work and beat those two teams?
They could, yeah.
All right. The Bruins are looking at the Blackhawks, they're looking at the Ducks, and they're looking at the Detroit Red Wings for the next few games. Do you think those are tap-in wins for them?
They could be. Okay, who's Vegas?
All right, and the Vegas Golden Knights, they got the Flyers and the Blackhawks and the LA Kings.
Wow.
All winnable games for all these teams. I think the last one standing for me is the Vegas Golden Knights. They are the strongest team top to bottom. There was no Stanley Cup hangover there, but it's fun to watch these guys play. Going to the winless teams, which one's finally going to get a win, the Sharks or the Caps?
The Caps. I'm going to bet against the Sharks all season long. It's easy money. So, yeah, I'll go with the Capitals.
All right. What's this frenzy, Tim, before we get out of here?
So there's 16 games tonight. All 32 teams are going to play tonight on Tuesday. And ESPN's doing this new thing called Frozen Frenzy, where you're going to basically live stream the games and all the scoring and all the big plays a la NFL's Red Zone. It's the first time they've ever done it. It's going to debut tonight, which is really exciting. And the fact that they've had 16 games in one night on this early in the season is pretty exciting. So I'm going to have that on tonight. I'm going to be watching. Not going to miss it. You would watch too if you had a TV, but you can't. So
I have a laptop. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. We'll talk to everybody later this week. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.